All right, James chapter 3. Let's get into this. I'm going to read this and then come back and dig into it a little bit. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. I like that about James. He doesn't say you stumble. Did you notice that in the text? He doesn't say you stumble. It's easy to point out somebody else's sin, isn't it? But what does he say? He identifies with us and he says, we all stumble, right? We all stumble. Do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say, put down the rock, right? Put down the rock, yeah. Put down the rock. You cannot throw rocks if you live in a glass house. That's what the old folks used to say. You can't do it, right? Be careful. Put it down and step away from the rock because we all stumble. We all stumble. Now you need to understand this. There's a difference between stumbling and slipping. There's a difference. Some of y'all need to stop slipping. You enjoying it way too much because you are a Christian now. You're serving the Lord now. You're following Jesus. You're a Kingsman now. And so you need to let that slipping go. You're going to stumble from time to time, but there's a difference. Christians who stumble, they repent. They get back up. Yes, sir. And they press in. People who slide, they love, right? They love to slide. All right, back to the scripture, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man. That means mature. It doesn't mean sinless. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, how many of you know that big things can be controlled by little things? A lot of times, it's not the big things in your life that messes you up. It's the small things. A lot of times we ignore small things because they're small things, and when you ignore them and let them go unchecked, they eventually turn into big things. And so I think God will have us to, you know, just think about what are the small things that are wrong that you're doing. Don't ignore them, because if you allow small things to go unchecked in your marriage, in your relationships at work, eventually they will snowball and just blow up in your face. Can I get an amen? See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of life. You know, you can set your life on fire by your tongue. Some of y'all, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I need to let you know multiple times in this sermon, some of y'all are burning your own self. You used to complain about other people that were burning you, but now you're burning your own self. Stop burning your own self. God's trying to do something in your life. He's trying to move you forward. He's trying to get you to a certain place in life, but you keep burning yourself. Keep burning yourself. And then look at this next phrase. He says, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. It's possible to be a Christian, but still an agent of hell. Think about that. That's crazy. It's possible to be a Christian, but still be a CIA agent for hell. James says that if you allow your tongue to go unchecked, it is set on fire from hell. In other words, you're doing hell's deeds. You're an agent. Put down the badge. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Deadly poison, deadly poison, deadly poison. The picture is of a forked tongue snake. Deadly poison, a forked tongue snake. When you hear that, you better walk away. When you better walk away, the tongue is a deadly poison. It's a deadly poison. Verse 9. With it we bless our God, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You can't bless God with your mouth and then turn around and curse man. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. You can't come and worship the Lord and then turn around and just easily curse the guy out in front of you that cut you off on the freeway. It can't be. You can't do that. It's not supposed, James is saying, it's not supposed to be like that. You are saved now. You're under new management now. Remember that old song, Love Under New Management? You have a new manager now. His name is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you are to do what he says. It's not to be so. That's what James says. He reminds you who you are, right? He reminds you, you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Keep reading. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Are you operating in the wisdom of God? Are you operating in the knowledge of God? The Bible says you will be willing to yield. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. That word hypocrisy, it comes from a word that means actor. The wisdom of God, when you operate in the wisdom of God, you're not gonna be an actor, right? You're not here just to play a part. You're not here just to put a face on, right? You're gonna be real. You're gonna be real. And so today we are continuing our study on James, and James gets pretty deep in this chapter when he teaches us on the tongue. He's teaching us on the tongue. And it would be nice, it would be awesome that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and repented from our sins, it would be awesome for us to like walk away with a total makeover of everything about us. Like it would be awesome that when we come down and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we would walk away with a new brain. Anybody need a new brain? Don't look at your neighbor. Right? It would be awesome that when we receive Jesus, we would walk away with a new body. Anybody need a new body? You're tired of this body already? Don't look at your neighbor. But the reality is that when you become born again, it is your spirit that is made new. Your mind and your body still need to be fought for. When you become born again, it is your spirit. It is your spirit. That's why the term is called born again Christian. It is your spirit that is made new. Your body and your mind still needs to be fought for. Now, the good news is that God gives us his personal armor to fight these battles in our life. And when you think about it, life can be viewed as one long kind of like war or battle for different territories of our life. When you think about life, you in one sense, it's one battle. It's actually multiple battles for different territories of our life. For example, there is the battle of your mind. There's a battle of your mind. Do you know that now that you're a Christian, you cannot just think any thoughts you want to think? You cannot just think any way you want to think anymore. You're a Christian. You're under new management. There's the battle of the mind. Are you going to win the battle of your mind? There's also the battle of your eyes. Did you know if you're a Christian, you cannot just look at anything you want to look at anymore? Did you know the old folks used to say wandering eyes? Did you know you cannot have wandering eyes? There's a battle of your eyes. There's the battle of your eyes. There's also the battle of your flesh. There's the battle of your flesh. Do you know that now that you're a Christian, you cannot just do anything you want to do anymore? You cannot just go anywhere you want to go anymore? Now, you may feel like it, but your feeling is not a permission to do it. You are to battle that. Someone say, I felt like it. I felt like it. That was the problem. You felt like it. That doesn't give you permission to do it. You are to battle. You are to battle your flesh. You are to battle. No, you cannot go there. No, you cannot do that. I'm standing up against you. Now is the day. I'm battling the flesh. I'm battling the flesh. And then there's what we're going to be talking about today is the battle for your tongue. The battle for your tongue. If you're a Christian, you cannot just say anything you want to say anymore. If you're a Christian, you cannot allow your tongue to rule you anymore. If you're a Christian, you cannot allow your tongue to step out of its mouth, get you in trouble, and then hide behind your teeth anymore. If you're a Christian, you will fight the battle of your tongue. Right? If you're a Christian, there's a battle for your tongue. And so James, in this chapter, he's already taught us about genuine faith and what it looks like, right? He's already taught us in the other chapters. He's taught us what genuine faith looks like, and we studied that already. He says, genuine faith is expressed by good works. He's already said that in chapters 1 and 2. Genuine faith is demonstrated by good works. He also said, genuine faith is demonstrated by life transformation. Are you changing? If you're changing, then that's demonstration that you have real, genuine faith. And now, as we get into chapter 3, his main point is this. His main point is genuine faith battles the tongue for victory. That's the main point. That's the big idea of his verses in chapter 3, that if you're a born-again Christian, you will fight the battle of your tongue. You will not allow your tongue to control you anymore. You will not allow your mouth to say whatever it wants to say anymore. You will not communicate just whatever you feel like communicating if you're a Christian, because genuine faith fights the battle. It fights the battle. It's interesting that in this chapter, James doesn't really give us any instructions on how to win the battle. The Bible does in other scriptures. But James' goal in this chapter is to try to get us to understand the magnitude of the fight. He's trying to get us to understand the importance of battling your tongue. That's his goal in this particular chapter. He's kind of given us a military briefing of the magnitude of what you're fighting for. Because if you don't understand the value of the battle, if you don't understand what you're fighting for, if you don't understand what's on the line, you will never fight the battle. If you don't understand what's at risk, if you don't understand what's at risk, you will not get up to fight. And so James, as like a military commander, he gives us this military briefing on, listen, this is why it's so important that you are to battle. This is why it's so important. And so I called this message Battling the Beast. Battling the Beast. I wanted to call it You Have a Monster in Your Mouth. But I thought I'd keep it simpler. And call it battling the beast. Now, I do want to say this. I want to be very clear. When we get into what we're going to learn today, James is not specifically talking about cuss words. I don't want you to interpret the message just exclusively off of cuss words. You know, like the words you used to say before you were with Christ, right? James is not just talking about that, right? Because some of you have stopped cussing a long time ago. You're not cussing anymore, but you're still cursing. Yeah. You ain't cussed in a long time. I mean, you don't even remember last time you cussed, but you're still cursing. And so when James talks to us about words. And he's not just talking about cuss words. He's talking about complaining. He's talking about gossiping. He's talking about being a critic, right? He's talking about pointing the finger. He's talking about painting people in the most negative light. He's talking about spewing out negativity. He's talking about mumbling stuff. He's not just talking about cuss words. That's just one section of what we have to deal with. Nah, some of y'all you haven't cussed in a long time, but you keep complaining. You keep complaining. You're complaining about this and you're complaining about that. But you ain't even doing nothing about yourself, but you still want to complain. Some of you are still grappling. Some of you are still, you know, you're still negative. You're still speaking negative words out into your situation. And James is trying to back us up. He's trying to open up our eyes saying, listen, you got to fight the battle of the beast. Got to fight the battle of the beast. And so I got several reflections for us this afternoon that I want us to think about. Here's number one. Someone say number one. We will all be accountable for every word. This is the first thing that James wants you to understand when it comes to this battle, is that we all will be accountable for every communication we give out, for every word we give out. He starts off in verses 1 and 2. He says, listen, don't let everybody become teachers, because teachers will be judged more stricter. Will be judged more stricter. So one of the first lessons is, listen, some of y'all are trying to preach, some of you are trying to be teachers, but don't rush into it. Don't rush into it, because once you get on the stage, there's going to be a weight that is be put upon you, right? So don't rush. Let God do it. Let God do it. Don't rush into it. But there is a universal principle in his lesson where he says, listen, we are all going to be judged by every word we let out of our mouth. There's going to come a time where you stand before God in judgment day, and he's going to pull up the computer of heaven, and he's going to show you all the words you ever said. All the words. And you're going to be like, wow. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they brought up to you what you said 3 years ago? And you're like, did I say that? Yes, you said that. You may have forgotten, but you said that. Right? You said that. And that's a small little judgment. That's not what James is talking about. James is talking about on the day we stand before our Creator. He's going to pull out every word. And if you can't see the computer screen, he's going to hit the print button and say, here, I want you to see. I want you to see what you said to your husband. I want you to see what you said to your wife. I want you to see what you said to the grocery man. I want you to see how you flipped off that guy in the car when he cut you off. Yeah, that was communication too. And you're going to be held accountable for that. We're going to be held accountable for everything we communicate. And this is what James teaches. And so he says, hold on, you need to understand this. You want to fight this battle? This is what this battle is about. One day we're going to be held accountable. It's very powerful. It's something interesting. We could say something today and be held accountable for it on judgment day. Jesus echoes this teaching in Matthew chapter 12, I believe. I'm going to put it up on the board. He echoes this teaching. He says in Matthew chapter 12, he says, but I say to you that every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. This is Jesus. He's turning around to the people and he's telling them, he says, listen, you need to understand that every idle word, that means careless word, that means useless word, every careless word, every word you just let to slip out of your mouth, you will be judged for it on the day of judgment. I didn't make this up. This is what Jesus says. That's how serious the battle is. You're going to be like, did I say that? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And so we need to be careful what we say. Why is there such a strict judgment on this? Why is James going so hard in the paint on this issue? You know why? Because words are powerful. Words are powerful. You cannot just say something and expect your words to evaporate in the air. No, they lodge into the heart of people. They lodge into the mind of people. You can cripple people by what you say. You can cripple people by what you say. Proverbs actually says that life or power, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Death and life, you have to a degree, you have the power of death and life, and it is in your tongue, it is in your mouth. I was in, about 20-something years ago, I was in seventh grade, I was going to Carnegie Junior High in Carson, and I had this teacher, and I don't even remember his name, I don't even remember what he taught, and I don't even remember what he looked like. If he walked in here right now, I wouldn't even know who he is. But what I do remember is the day that I was in the hallway during break time, and I was walking down the hallway, and I turned around, and I heard this one teacher, my last name is Warth, W-A-R-T-H, but I heard him say, "Hey, Worthless, come here." I don't even know, I don't remember his name. I don't remember everything, what he taught. He must have been a bad teacher. I don't remember nothing that he taught. But I remember that one. I don't remember anything else he said, but I remember that one word. Why is that? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we will all stand before judgment for what we allow to come out of our mouth. And that's what James says. Be aware. Everything you say to your wife, everything you say to your spouse, every word you mumble in the grocery line, you will be held accountable. Number two, someone say number two. The tongue is a gauge of spiritual maturity. It's a gauge of spiritual maturity. James says if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a mature man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now remember, we taught that when you become born again, it is your spirit that is made new. You become a baby Christian. That's what it's called to be a born again Christian. So it doesn't matter how old you are physically. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Savior, you become a spiritual baby. And it is God's intention that every spiritual baby grow up. That's God's intention. You're not supposed to be a baby forever. You're not supposed to drink milk forever. God is not going to change your diapers at 20 years old. He wants you to grow up. That's his intention for every spiritual person. But the question is, how do we gauge spiritual maturity? How do we measure? How do we measure if you're growing or not? How do we measure if you're picking up what I'm putting down? How do we measure if you're sipping what I'm pouring? How do we measure your spiritual growth? You're coming here Sunday after Sunday. You're coming here at Bible study. How do we measure your spiritual growth? How do we measure if you're allowing the word to develop you, if you're allowing the word to change? How do we measure that? James says, pay attention to what you say. James says, pay attention to what he says. Can we talk like family for a moment? I can size you up spiritually just by listening to you for a couple minutes. I don't even have to hang out with you all night long. I just got to ear hustle a little bit and to hear what you're talking about. And I'll be able to size up if you're growing or not. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You say, well, you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. Yes, we do. We just got to listen to your mouth, and it will reveal what's in your heart. So if you've been a Christian for an extended period of time, and all you're doing is complaining, and all you're doing is murmuring, and you're still talking about Tupac, and you're still talking about Dr. Dre, and you're still talking about going to the club, and you're still talking about getting high, and you're still talking about doing this and all this worldly stuff, there is a disconnect somewhere. There's a disconnect. Because your mouth reveals the sinfulness of our hearts. And so James says, watch out. You can give yourself up. You're going to pull the covers over your own self just by what you say. So I want to give you something to think about. Something kind of down the lines of, if you show me a person whose tongue is out of control, I will show you a person whose life is out of control. Yeah. You show me a person. You point to me a person whose tongue is out of control, and I will show you a person whose life is out of control. So if you say you know you're spiritually mature, or you say you've been coming to church for 100 years, but you're still talking the way that you're talking, and you're still out there with that, then it's an indication that something is wrong. Something is wrong. That's why Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Keeps himself out of trouble. If you can control your tongue, you control everything about you. Some of you are focusing on the wrong thing. You need to focus on your tongue first. Because your tongue is a gauge of everything else. It's a gauge. And that's why Proverbs 17:17 says, a truly wise person uses few words. Right? Don't give yourself up by how you talk. Number three, someone say number three. This is probably the most important thing that James wants us to get. The tongue can set life on fire. In verse 6, he says, the tongue also is a life, is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and it sets the whole course of life. Get this, the whole course of life. It sets the whole course of life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Wow, that's a deep revelation. This is critical for you to get. It says the tongue sets the whole life on fire, and in itself is set on fire from hell. Jesus talked a lot about hell. In fact, out of everybody in the Bible, he talked the most about hell. The Bible teaches that there's a hell. There's a punishment for those that reject God. There's a spiritual, eternal punishment for those who reject the grace of God. Jesus talked a lot about hell. He described hell a lot in his ministry. You check it out for yourself in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where he talks about hell. Over 11 times he talks about hell. And the word that he uses to describe hell, the place that he uses to describe hell, is a place by Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, that is called Gehenna. And I want to kind of break this down to you, because this is a graphic illustration that James gives when he says your tongue is set on fire from hell. Jesus, when he went to teach on what hell was like, when he went to teach on what hell looked like, he uses an illustration, a location that is near Jerusalem that is called Gehenna. In fact, that's where he got the word hell from. Translated in the Greek, it's called Gehenna. And this location was so evil, it was so sinful, that in ancient times they used to sacrifice babies in this location, and they used to do a bunch of wicked stuff in this location. And it was so evil that when they went to go build up Jerusalem and they went to go build homes, that they didn't want to build on top of this location because there was so much sin that was done. And so they turned this location into a garbage dump where they burned daily, 24 hours, they burned the waste of the city. And so there's a location outside of Jerusalem in the Bible days that was called Gehenna that burned 24 hours, and it burned the waste, all the junk, all the garbage of the city. It would burn. And Jesus used this as an illustration of what hell was like. And people could see Gehenna from like a mile away, and they could smell Gehenna from a mile away because it was awful. It was terrible. And Jesus used this as a graphic illustration of hell. Now, get what James says. James says that there are Christians that will actually go down to Gehenna and pick up the fiery waste that is in Gehenna, and they would throw it all over themselves and set themselves on fire. That's what he's saying in the text. He said, your tongue is set on fire from hell. You're literally going down to Gehenna. You're picking up the waste, a fiery waste, and you're throwing it up in the air, and you're smothering it all over yourself through your tongue. Have you ever burned a situation out of because of your mouth? Have you ever set your day on fire because of what you said? Have you ever blew a relationship because of what you said? And so you look back on your relationships and you see one burnt relationship after another, and you're wondering why there's fumes and smoke in your past. It's because you've been burning everything up. You've been burning everything up. Setting things on fire. When you look back and you see relationships and situations smelling like Gehenna, smelling like hell, and you're wondering why, maybe it's because you're using your mouth as a fire. You're setting yourself on fire. You're burning yourself up. You're burning yourself. God is trying to do something in your life. He's trying to move you forward, but you're burning your own self. Stop burning your own self. Stop burning your own self. Stop shooting yourself in the leg. Stop holding yourself down. Some of y'all need to get mad at yourself and stop burning your own self by what you're saying. What you're saying, and not only are you burning your own self, but there are some Christians that they're going to the Valley of Gehenna and they're picking up this fiery waste, and they're throwing it on others. This is what James is saying. James is saying there's some Christians that are going to the Valley of Gehenna and they're picking up this fiery waste and they're literally unleashing hell on others by what they say. That's what he's saying. You're unleashing hell. Have you ever been burnt by someone else? Have you ever spent night up not being able to sleep because of what somebody said to you? Have you ever been worried and lost food and sleep because you've been worried about what somebody said to you, because somebody is trying to burn you, somebody's trying to set somebody on fire? That's what James is saying. Stop going down there and setting things on fire. Stop setting things on fire. Stop being an agent for hell. Stop being an agent. Yeah, you could be a Christian and still an agent for hell. That's what James is saying. Don't work for the devil. You don't work for the devil no more. You don't work for the devil no more. Don't allow your mouth to unleash hell. So you're in the midst of a trial right now. You're in the midst of a problem right now. And you're going to go back after church and you're going to go back into your situation. And you can make your situation better or you can make it worse just off what you're going to say. You can make your situation better or you can make it worse. Some of you are going to go back to work on Monday. You're going to resume the argument that started on Friday. You're going to resume the stress that you left on Friday. You can make the situation better or you can make it worse just by the words you say. Just by the words you say. Some of you are in a situation with your marriage. Your marriage is on rocks. Your marriage is messed up. And you can go back right now at dinner time and you can make your situation better or you can make it bitter just by what you say. You have the power. You have a level of power to restore your situation. You have a level of power to make it better just by what you say. Listen, if you get this, if you walk away and apply this to your life, it is so powerful. You can cut your problems by 50% by next week. You can cut your problems by, you hear what I'm saying? By 50%, because some of y'all are burning your own self and you don't even realize it. That's how powerful that you can cut it by 50%. Stop setting things on fire. I was at the beach a couple weeks ago, and I was in the sand, and I was minding my own business, and I was sitting down, and my wife was with the kids, playing with the kids, and I was sitting down, and I was minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I heard a young lady cussing out somebody. So I was at the beach. I was sitting down. I was minding my own business. I was not ear hustling. I was minding my own. But I couldn't help. This young girl was cussing somebody out. I'm talking about cussing them out. I'm talking about bleep, 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 and bleep, 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 bleep. I was minding my own business. I wasn't ear hustling. But I felt the flames. I felt the flames. I felt the heat. Mind my own business. The heat came close. And so finally, I lifted up my head and I turned and I go to look. And I expected her to be talking to an adult. I expected her to be talking to an adult. Bleepity bleep, 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 get over here. Bleep, 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 you doing this. Bleep, why you doing? Bleep, 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 bleep. I expected her to be talking to an adult. I was minding my own business. But the heat got close. And I turned around, and it was a 4-year-old girl. 4-year-old girl. Four-year-old. What was her mother doing? Her mother was setting her life on fire. She didn't even realize it. Setting this baby girl, 4 years old, setting her whole course of her life, didn't even realize, speaking death, speaking heat, speaking negativity into her soul, into her spirit, and she's going to wonder why her daughter, God forbid, if her daughter turns out a certain way, she's going to be blaming the system. She's going to be blaming her mom. She's going to be blaming her dad. She's going to be blaming everybody, and she ain't even going to realize that she set her little daughter on fire. That's what James says. That's what the battle is over. That's why you got to battle the beast. Don't let it control you. As I close, one last thing that we need to understand. The tongue is humanly untamable. As we close, you need to understand this. You cannot do it on your own. Oprah cannot help you. A book is not going to help you. Your wife is not going to change you. Your husband is not going to change you. You cannot do it, no matter how much weight you lift. No matter how physically strong you are, James, he kind of paints the picture of this battle and say, listen, you're up against something big. It is humanly untamable. You can't do it in your own strength. And so this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to surrender your tongue to Jesus. You're going to have to surrender your tongue to Jesus. We talk about surrendering your heart, and some of you already surrendered your heart. That's awesome. That's the first thing you got to do. That's awesome. But now you got to surrender your tongue. You got to surrender your tongue to Jesus. Lord, help me tame my tongue. Lord, take control over my tongue. Lord, I don't need my tongue to get me in trouble anymore. Lord, I don't want my tongue to burn me. I'm tired of burning myself. I'm tired of burning up what God's trying to do in my life. Lord, take control of my tongue. Take control of my tongue. Help me battle the beast. Help me. That's what we got to do. You can't do it on your own. You ain't gonna win. You need to surrender it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. As the worship team comes up and as every head bowed and everybody just stay seated right where you're at, the Lord spoke a heavy word today, and we don't want you to rush out of here. We want you to just think and reflect upon how God spoke to you. Not your wife, not your husband, not your neighbor, but you. How did God speak to you about your tongue, and what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? How are you going to walk out of here with this new revelation? And so for the next couple moments, I just want us to think and reflect in prayer. How did God speak to you, and how are you going to respond? Some of you need to repent. Some of you need to take this time out during this prayer time and just right where you're at. You need to repent. You need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for allowing my tongue to slip. I'm sorry. And some of you need to repent. But whatever you need to do, I want you to think about how God spoke to you just for these next couple moments.